Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup overflowing.
My cup's overflowing.
Jesus right there. He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
Restores my soul.
Restores my
with confidence. Mercy and goodness.
Mercy and goodness.
Ooh, oh, give me assurance.
Give me assurance.
Oh, that I'll see your glory.
I'll see your glory.
Oh, face to face.
Thank you.
Hello. Okay, I can hear myself now. Welcome to tonight's show. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. As always, we're excited to be here, and I am one of your hosts tonight. I am Tanisha.
And I'm Terrence. Welcome.
Today is April 20th, 2022. It is 7:17 p.m. Central Standard Time, and again, welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we don't just talk about it, we are about it. We're excited every time we have an opportunity to be used by God to prophesy and minister to you personally. We're always excited to hear what the Lord has to say because it's not rehearsed, it's not pre-planned. We just do this freestyle and let God use us the way that he sees fit to use us for the edification of the body of Christ.
Absolutely, absolutely. Edification of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that word right there when you said edification, you know, to edify.
Mm-hmm.
I guess something I want to look at. The one word, when you look at edify,
mm-hmm.
that stands out to me is improve.
Mm.
Improve the body of Christ. And instruct. You know, instruct or improve. But instructions, when you get the instructions, just because a person has instructions doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to follow those instructions. And so when we edify, it's good to instruct so that we can improve. And it puts it on us, you know, that we give the word of God, we share the word of God to put everybody in position to where they can improve. Because we're getting instructions through the word of God for our improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can improve. So improvement is needed. That's why the scripture tells us to meditate both day and night. You know, we got to think about the word constantly. You know, God should always be on our minds because God is always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God isn't like he go and hide and go on sabbaticals and different things. He doesn't do that. He's always there. He's ever present, always present. And that's the benefit of serving the Lord. Because he said he'll never leave nor forsake us. See, we'll give up on each other quickly. You know, we'll call each other out on things, especially with people dealing with things that we don't like. But we have to really think about what it is that God doesn't like, you know. Because in the earth, we have different circumstances based off of different things that people can do could cause different type of repercussions
mm-hmm.
in our lives. You know, you jump off a building, you know, with no parachute, the repercussion is could be more detrimental than you hitting yourself with a pencil on your hand, you know, a dropping a water balloon from a building on somebody's head. It's different, you know. So the repercussions are different, but the things about with God when it comes down to sin, sin is just sin. And God looks at it all the same. Sinful nature is sin. That's why Christ came and gave his life for it. And we as the body of Christ, we have to educate and instruct one another so that we can improve on how we deal with sin
mm-hmm.
you know, and how we look at, you know, none is greater than the other. Tanisha was talking the other day about different things, you know, different faults and shortcomings, because the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
But where we both come to the conclusion and agreement was this, is that we have to continue to preach Jesus. When we preach Jesus, we are giving people the antidote for whatever it is that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because you could be dealing with a sin that I'm not, that I could be totally against.
Right.
But Christ died for it all.
Yes.
And so he is the antidote for all sin. And in the Bible talks about when we come to God, he said, we first must believe that he is in order to come to him. So you ain't going to knock on a door that you don't believe is there.
Right,
you
know? Or knock on a door and you think the house is vacant.
Vacant.
So nobody's going to answer.
Right. And so we're in the position now to where, hold on, I had my thought. We've been talking about that all week. You wait your turn. Because you be like, I done got older now, and we're going to come against my train of thought leaving me when I get distracted. And so, because I know Tanisha, she has to get her point out, and it throws me off sometimes. Because I be thinking of something, and then I start listening to her, and then I forget what I was getting ready to say. But it eventually come back to me. Give me 2 seconds. 1, 2. Okay, where were we? All right, Jesus being the antidote, and him saying that the Bible said that first those that come to him must believe that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm back on my road. All right, and he says when you come to him, you got to come to him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
See, the enemy has us battling against one another when we all wrong. We all are wrong. But the enemy does take things to another level, to the point to where there's a difference between people knowing that they are wrong and admitting it, and admitting that they need help, versus those that are in the wrong, because we're all in the wrong, and then justifying the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to say that their wrong is right. And that contradicts the word of God. It contradicts the word of God. And that's my point. That's my issue. And that's my concern with us in general. We all are messed up based on what the scriptures teach. So we need Jesus. We need the antidote at all times, you know. And so we need him because he's the only one that can right the wrongs. His blood covers. Because of his blood, we are able to talk to God directly. It's because of the sacrificial lamb that we have the holy boldness to be able to talk to God, and then not only talk to God, he hears it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus made it possible for this, for us to do that now, because we are walking as Christians to walk, be like Christ every day. So it's a journey. It's a consistent walk. And you could walk 10 years and at a particular point in your life, a phase, and for 10 years you could have been walking thinking some things that you was doing was okay. But when you got revelation, you come to the realization, I was in error. But because of God's grace, God still saw you through these things. And so tonight, evaluate yourself and have compassion for those that are walking in error, just like you, but their walk in their error ways could be different from yours. Mm-hmm. And we have to come against those that operate in that spirit of denial. We come against denial tonight because so many people are in denial of their shortcomings. So many people are in denial of their weaknesses. And they are justifying and they're gravitating to with more and more people that are hooraying and high-fiving in the lie, in the denial. That's what we come against tonight, mm-hmm. the spirit of denial, and that will be broken so people can walk in truth and accept the truth and not be ashamed. Because we don't gonna answer to nobody but the Lord. But I understand, you know, you got people you love and you may not want to share certain things with them. And you don't have to share it with the Lord. You can't lie to him. God ain't telling you to always tell everybody everything. Some things is just between you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. But what he does tell you to share, you still have to walk in obedience, though.
Right. That's the key.
You have to be obedient. And so knowing what to do and just doing what God tells you to do, that's the key. Like my wife said, that's the key. And so we pray that the spirit of truth rises up in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because in the body of Christ, we really need to get back to really telling the truth and preaching Jesus, preaching the truth. He is the answer. He says, I am the way, the truth. Hello, like, I am. Ain't no 12-step program. The truth, the way, the light. The truth, the way, the light may lead you to a program, you know. But Jesus is the answer. Mm-hmm. So when we focus on who Jesus is, and we share Jesus with people, now you're giving people the antidote. But it's up to them if they're going to take it or not. Mm-hmm. But you presented the antidote, the cure, the answer, the way. And that's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, what you said is 100% true. It really boils down to obedience. And if you got a chance to listen to the show last night, Randy was talking about the protections, mm-hmm. and how the scripture that says, I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you, mm-hmm. don't apply to you if you're not in obedience. Right. And the reason why God will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you when you're in obedience is because He's protecting his will. Mm-hmm. If you're just doing your own thing, that doesn't apply. People can bless you or curse you or whatever, then that's just whatever. Now, of course, people still reap what they sow.
Mm-hmm.
But God's not going to put a curse on somebody who's coming against you and you're not even in his will. The reason why the curse comes on, it's not because you're so special. It's because you are in his will and he's protecting his will.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we don't realize that we think about all these weapons, right, against the enemy. one of the biggest weapons that you have against the enemy is your obedience. There is a protection that comes on. There are doors that open to you when you are obedient. That is the key. It's not enough to know the word, because even the word says you can't just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word too. If all the instructions was just in the Bible, we didn't have to have a personal relationship with Christ, then the word would say that. But that's why we pray. If you didn't need to pray, because why do we pray, right? People might say, why do we pray? You know, part of praying is to, it's a relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how you can't have a relationship with somebody without communication. I could know a lot about you and you could know a lot about me, but I can't know you intimately without communication with you.
Yeah.
And that's a prayer. That is communication with you and God. It's not just you dumping off and telling him all your problems and sorrows and lamenting about your coworkers who you completely can't stand. Mm-hmm. It is a communication. When you communicate with a person, it's two-way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's get and it's take. And a lot of people are getting that wrong. They just pray, they just dump off and go about their night. No, it's not a dump off.
Right.
God already knows everything. You're not telling him anything. You are not giving him revelation about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's designed to so that you can have communication, so that you can have intimacy with him, so that you can know him, know his voice, know his impressions, know how he operates. That's what it's designed for. So if all we have to do is just follow a set of rules, then we wouldn't need to pray.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be necessary. So it's not enough to just follow the Ten Commandments. I've actually had people tell me that. As long as I follow the Ten Commandments, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Huh? That's an Old Testament. Not that they don't, you know, won't serve you good, but I've actually had believers tell me that as long as they follow the Ten Commandments, they're good to go. So I'm like, what about obedience to God? What about what? Well, God doesn't care because we're under the grace. That's not true. He still has a will.
Right.
And you have a will. And he wants you to exchange. Nevertheless, not my will be done. Christ is the ultimate example of everything that we will face in life. And if God's will or God didn't have a will that mattered compared to our will, then Christ wouldn't have said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just deal with what he wanted to do. And God would say, okay, cool. I'll just go along with you. He's not serving us.
Mm-hmm.
We're serving him. When you go to a restaurant and the waiter serves you, the waiter serves you what you want.
Right.
They don't just bring whatever they here. This is what you gonna eat. Oh well, we don't care if you got a food allergy or you don't like it or whatever. We just gonna give you what? No. We serve God, but we're serving him what he wants. We're bringing him what he wants. You don't give God whatever you want to give him. That was why Cain and Abel had their dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Cain is doing what he want to do. No. That's not how it works. The key is obedience. That's a protection. To be obedient. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, not mm-hmm. yours. That's why when people are worldly and they don't know Christ and they don't serve him or nothing, and they say all things work together for good, it's a lie. It will not. Not for those who don't love God and not for those who are not called according to his purpose. It will be in vain.
Come on.
That is a promise that has a requirement attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for good for, it's telling you all things work together good and then what it applies to for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So that means that all things don't just work together for good. That's something that people like to just cut that scripture right on in half and apply it to everybody and everything, and that is not true. There is a protection that comes in obedience. When you're obedient, all things work together for good. Because when you're obedient, to be obedient to God, you have to love God. You can't be obedient and don't love God, and you have to be called according to his purpose. Then it all works out. When you're obedient to God, he protects his will. He's fierce over his will. And he will curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you because of his will. Not you. He's no respecter of persons. So it's not because you're just so special and you smell great. It's because of his will. And maybe you are special and smell great, but that's not the reason. He's protecting his will. And so we as a body, we as individuals, we need to be obedient. So many people know the word. They can quote scripture. And they could pray for you. They could do all these great things. But it's the obedience that matters. Are you obedient? Or are you making excuses? Are you walking in delusion? Are you walking in, well, everybody does it? A lot of people are in a lot of bad spots because of a lack of obedience, because they don't do what the Word of God tells them to do, and they don't do what God tells them to do. Because he speaks to you. There's rules that apply to all of us, right? There's acts of obedience that the Word of God tells us how to live holy, apply to everybody, no matter if you're called to be a doctor, a dentist, a preacher, evangelist, stay-at-home mom, it don't matter. But there's some things that God says to do and not do that applies to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's things that personally God tells you to do or not do that might not apply to the next person.
Yes.
It's personal to you. It's a personal walk.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are in some really bad spots right now because they ain't following even the basic instructions for living. And making excuses. Because everything that God has that's genuine and true, there is a counterfeit. Terrence and I were talking about how the world has a counterfeit in relationships. People mm-hmm. expect to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and then to be faithful and committed and honored. No, that's what. Why are you wanting marriage out of a boyfriend or a girlfriend? That's not of God. It's like you're trying to do a marriage without the covenant.
Right.
And then wonder why, oh, it don't work. I keep getting my heart broke because you're not doing it right.
Come on, man.
If you want a commitment and a covenant, you need to get married.
Come on.
You can't do it wrong and expect positive results. And so many people are talking about, I'm so scarred, I'm so damaged, my heart is so broke, because you've been doing it wrong.
Mm.
Because you're not being obedient. You're doing every single thing that a spouse is supposed to be doing outside of a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. And he knows that you know better. People lying and stealing money on their job and doing all the extra and wonder why they won't get promoted, why they won't get no raise. Because you're stealing. You're doing it wrong. That's not being obedient. That's the basic instructions that you ain't supposed to be stealing. And then you delude. You say, well, I don't steal from the steward. No, you're stealing from your job, though. You're stealing time. You're stealing other people's credit for work and things that they're doing, and you're taking credit for it. But then you wonder why you're in a tight spot, because you're not being obedient. Kids running around acting a plum fool, terrorizing the neighborhood, but you refuse to spank them. I just want to have a chit-chat with them and toss them in the corner. That's great, too, but the Word of God is clear. If you spare the rod, you will spoil the child. That foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod is what gets it out. Quit trying to do things your way. That's why your kids are acting a fool the way they're acting, because you're not being obedient. A lot of us are in tight spots because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. If we would just be obedient, that would eliminate. It's a protection that comes along with it. Yeah, your kid might be mad. You know, ain't nobody telling you to abuse no kid. But the Word of God is clear. If it says give him a talking, then you just give him a talking. A rod is an actual, it's an instrument. Even scripture talks about a reed, which is like a switch. If it wasn't so, the word wouldn't say it. So not using your hand, using an object like a switch or a belt or something that's going to produce what God wants to bring out that foolishness. Not in an abusive way, not doing it when you're angry and all that stuff and when you're just head about to fall off. But a lot of us are getting it wrong, and we're not getting the results because we're not doing it right. You don't get right from wrong. You have to be obedient, even if you don't like it. You think every time that you being obedient, you're going to like the obedience? You think Joseph liked being in jail? You think Jesus really liked the thought of being beat to a pulp to hang on that cross? That's why he was sweating blood. But he still was willing to say, you know what? It's not about my will. Nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done. It's not always going to be what you like. And we as the body of Christ have to get out of that touchy-feely gospel that we're under. I'm gonna do it only because I like it. I'm only going to be obedient to the things that I like. It's not always going to be things that you like. No celibacy doesn't feel good when you're a sexual being. But that's what God has called you to when you're single. No, it doesn't feel good to whoop your kids when you love them. But that's what it's going to cause to get that foolishness out of their heart. And to not be spoiled. We don't like nothing spoiled. If you want to eat spoiled food, then don't you dare serve the world a spoiled child. How dare you serve society a spoiled human when you wouldn't eat spoiled or rotten food? You got to get over how you feel and be obedient, because nothing but good comes from obedience, even if at the moment you don't like it. Maybe you don't like just clocking in and clocking out because you need that extra money, but that's just what you got to do until God releases you from that job. You ain't going to get right out of wrong. Maybe when somebody does certain things to you and you biting your tongue, that doesn't feel good. But if God's telling you personally to say nothing, then say nothing. Do you know what people have said about my name? People I don't even know. And God says, say nothing. You don't defend. I will defend you when you need to be defended. I will avenge you when you need to be avenged. That doesn't feel good because I'm the type, I don't care if you talk about me, but just tell the truth. I don't like being lied on at all. There's a lot of truth that you can say about me. So there's no reason to lie. So I don't like when I'm lied on. God said, shh, say nothing. And out of obedience, guess what? I said nothing. Because I'm more concerned about obedience than how I feel about something. If everybody's doing it and God says don't do it, don't do it. I've told you story after story on this show about situations I've been in where everybody was doing it, fellow believers even, doing things, and I pray about it, and God said, don't you do that. And didn't. And the outcome was favorable every single time. Be obedient. Because a lot of the problems that we have are self-inflicted because we refuse to follow the instructions. The instructions are there. You know how many believers, single believers I know that say, oh, well, everybody has sex before marriage. It ain't, if it's before marriage, it is not sex. It's fornication. That's not the same. Sex ain't a sin. Fornication is a sin. But then you're wondering why you're getting into these bad relationships after bad. You're doing it wrong. I'm speaking from personal experience. That was something I had to get out of. And when I was single and walking celibacy. Because I'm like, I can't expect God to bring me no husband and I'm doing the wrong stuff. It's insane. But when I got my mind right and got myself obedient, then he brought, introduced me to Terrence. When I got myself together, when I got myself, gathered myself into obedience and had some candid conversation and got real with myself about doing wrong but expecting right. That's a conversation that we have to have with ourselves. You ain't got to tell everybody what you do. I'm telling you right now what I did because God has told me to say something so that you know that you're not alone. We all have areas that we need to improve, but it starts with us making a decision to walk in obedience despite how we feel. We got to get out of that feelings thing. I'm only going to do this feel good. You think the devil's going to come and look at the things that the devil entices people with. Most of it feels good. Most of it feels just like how when you don't like somebody, right? And if you got a sharp tongue like I do, and you have an opportunity to go off on somebody that you don't like, that feels good. But out of obedience, you don't do it. At least I don't. I hold my tongue. And there's not a lot of people I don't like, truth be told. I'm pretty easygoing and pretty much like almost everybody. So if I don't like you, it's for a really good reason. Because I really just don't think you're a good human. But if given an opportunity to go off on somebody that I didn't like, if God told me to bridle my tongue, I'm going to bridle my tongue. But that's what the things that the enemy entices people, yeah, go off, give them a piece of your mind. That feels good. Yeah, gossip and talk about people. Yeah, that feels good. Yeah, fornicate and do whatever you want to do. That feels good. Yeah, drink and indulge in drugs and all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming that that feels good. You hear my cat? Do whatever to get money. Yeah, that feels good. The devil is always enticing people with things that feel good. So that whole doing it because it feels good thing is completely irrelevant and tossed out the window. Most of the things that he tells you to do and that he entices you and ways that he tries to get you to be disobedient feel good. But then the repercussion doesn't, and it's long-lasting. It's like you paying $1 million for a single potato chip. It don't last. And now the price that you pay has put you in a debt. While being obedient to God, maybe at that moment it don't feel good, but the payoff. Oh, the payoff is worth it. Protections that come along when you are obedient. But just know, again, it don't always feel good to do the right thing. Because that flesh is screaming. That flesh is telling you to do the very opposite. But you just continue to be obedient to God. The payoff, the reward is worth it. You have to get to the point, because somebody might say, well, how do I become obedient? How do I trust God in every area? It's a trust thing. There is a trust. You have to trust God to be obedient, to be fully obedient. You really have to trust God. Because a lot of people don't trust God in relationships because they're not obedient in relationships because they don't trust God in that. They don't trust that God's going to bring them a husband. They don't trust God's going to bring them a wife. So they do what the world does, because then they see other people, well, they did this and they landed a husband, or they did that and they landed a wife. So they start to follow the ways of the world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might land a husband and land a wife in name only.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. Come on, divorcees.
Because all marriage ain't created equal.
Man, and all marriage ain't put together by God.
No.
Because it says, what God put together, let no man tear apart.
Come on.
So if the scripture is clear about what God put together, then that means that there's things, marriages that were not put together by God. Because if it was every marriage was put together by God, then the scripture would say, let no man tear apart a marriage.
Right.
Right? Because every marriage will be put together by God. There's some marriages put together from pits of hell.
Absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely. And like scripture says, it the marriage is between one man
mm-hmm.
and one woman.
Right.
It ain't one man and four women. It ain't four men and one woman. It ain't man. It ain't woman. The scripture is clear. And this is what the church has to give back to. I mean, cut you off, but I just...
No, you're fine.
I just had to end it.
But I'm just saying, though, that you, the reason why a lot of people are not obedient is because they don't trust God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lack of trust.
They trust their feelings.
And they trust what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. But we walk by faith and and not by sight. So they seeing all they worldly friends getting married and doing all this, and they fornicating and doing whatever to keep their man. And so, but they don't know behind closed doors what's going on in their marriage.
Right.
They don't know that he got 8 girlfriends, so she cry every night. And this, you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do it the right way. Do it the right way. But you have to trust God to be obedient. You have to. It's worth it. It is worth it. As a woman who was in a marriage that was not put together by God compared to making a decision after that marriage ended and all that and going through a phase of dating and all that kind of stuff and then making a decision to say, you know what, God, I'm gonna trust you in this area and I'm gonna do things the right way. And now being in a marriage that I know God put together, that obedience was worth it. That was a period of my life that I really had to hunker down. And that was, it was worth it to get what I have now. I could have ended up right back in the same situation. I could have jumped out of the skillet and into the frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people do that. That's not what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want something by title alone. You want the genuine thing. You want the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really wanted a brand new car and you wanted it to be a certain brand and I just took some little jalopy junk bucket and slapped a brand name on it and said, this is it, you'd be like, excuse me? That ain't what, no. So it's not the title that makes it. It's it being it. What makes it is what it is, not what you label it. You want that career. Just because you win a job, don't make that your career. You want your dream career? Be obedient.
Yeah.
You don't want to just say you got a career because I had a career. I hated it. Hated it. But I was there and stepped with it because I was obedient to God being there. And now God is transitioning to me into what I'm going to be doing that I'm going to love.
Absolutely.
It's all about obedience. It's not enough to just label something. Don't want labels. Who cares about labels? Want genuine. And the only way you're going to get the real deal is obedience. That's it. There is no shortcut. You got to go through Christ. He is the way. So if he's the way, there is no shortcut. There's no alternative route if he says he's the way. Because people say, oh, I'm lost. He's the way. I'm lost in relationships. I'm lost in child rearing. I'm lost in my career. I'm lost in how to maintain my body. I'm lost in how to be a goal getter. He's the way. Jesus is the way.
Yes, he is.
So if you're lost in any area tonight, take it to the Lord. If you have areas that you know you've been disobedient in, just repent and say, Lord, help me to be obedient. It's a choice.
Yeah.
Nobody's disobedient without their permission. It's you. It's your life. You're living it. It's a choice. And sometimes we don't want to swallow that pill. We want to make excuses. Well, it's because of the way I was raised. Because it's still your choice.
Right.
Now, were those factors that contributed? Yes. But it's still ultimately your choice. And once you know the truth, you are accountable to it. So despite what your mama and daddy did to you when you was coming up and the social economic background or everything that you're seeing or what has enticed you through what you viewed as a child and experiences and bio factors and all this other stuff. Once you know the thing that you're supposed to be doing, you're accountable to do it,
mm-hmm.
despite that, because you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Mm-hmm.
So all means despite what you're prone to, right? Some people are prone to certain things. So that means despite bad teachings, despite habits, despite strongholds, despite all that, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It just takes you wanting to do it and you making a choice to do it. Now, you might struggle. But struggling is different than flat-out disobedience. That's not the same. Struggle means you're trying to do right. Disobedience means you're doing wrong, period. These are not the same. So don't you think because you're struggling that you're just disobedient. You're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You're going to get it together
mm-hmm.
because you've set your mind to get it together. Think about when you first learned how to ride a bike. I still remember learning how to ride a bike because I had a pink and blue bike that had the little ribbons on the handles. Couldn't tell me nothing. And I had training wheels on the bike. And my dad would take me to the back, and we would ride with the training wheels, and I was good to go. And then he took them. He asked me if I wanted to be a big girl on the bike. Did I want to ride it like the big girls? And I said, yes, I did. So he took off. I didn't know what that meant. He took off the training wheels. When I tell you, I crashed into many a fence. When I tell you, I went, because where we used to practice was in a where the garages were, the parking garage, because we lived in a townhouse. And so where the parking garages were all, that's where it was like a long strip of street. And so that's where we would practice. And there was a big gate on one side, and then all the garages were on the other side. So I'm crashing into the gate. I'm crashing into the back of people's car, but this is in the 80s. So people's cars were built different than they are now. We're talking about metal cars, so they wasn't doing no type of damage. But I was determined to ride that bike like a big girl. But I struggled to do it. And I took some bumps and I took some hits and I have some skinned knees. But because I put my mind, that's what I was going to do, despite the struggle, I ended up doing it and doing it well. So there's a difference between a struggle and a flat out disobedience. That's not the same. So sometimes it's easy to be able to just change your mind, and that's just a wrap. You got it. And sometimes, you know, you got to struggle your way through it. But make a decision today to be obedient and to change your mind. That's one thing that the enemy can't take. You can always change your mind. I don't care if you've been a rotten, petty person for all of your years. Today, you can change your mind and say, I'm not going to be that person. I don't care if you've been a liar. I don't care if you've been a fornicator. I don't care if you, whatever you've done, you could change your mind. That's how it starts. Where the mind goes, the body's going to follow. You can always change your mind. I don't care what people say. Well, you've been that way. Who cares? You know what? Don't listen to those people. People are always going to try to box you in and remind you of who you was. But the minute you change your mind, you're not that person anymore. So they can have their memories all day long, but that's not who you are anymore. That's who you were. Mm-hmm. You could always change your mind and decide, I ain't doing that no more. I'm doing something different now, and you can struggle your way through it. And guess what? Because you've changed your mind and set your mind on being different and being obedient, you will be. And that's what you tell yourself when you struggle. And if you got people around you trying to point out, see, I knew you wasn't there. I knew you didn't change. I knew this, and you just leave them where they're at. Because condemnation don't come from Christ. You can do it. Remember that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All is everything. There ain't nothing that you can't do. But it starts with you making a decision and setting your mind to do it. So let's do it today. All of us, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's be obedient to God. Because there's an abundant life out there waiting for all of us. Maybe you're cool with your life now, but there's more. There's more. Your story is not done yet. There's more to your story. There's more. God wants to give you so much more, but a lot of it is tied to your obedience. Let's pray and let's then answer some callers. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your voice. We thank you for your love and your guidance and direction. And we thank you that even you don't spare no rods, Father God, because you don't want us to be spoiled. So sometimes we feel like we're hearing a word and it feels like we're getting a whooping, but it's for our own good because you are calling us as a body and you're calling us as individuals to be obedient. You are calling us to obedience. So Father God, give us a heart and a craving and a desire to be obedient, Father God, to your will and your ways, despite how we feel. And help us to trust you in every area of our life because a lot of the times what's stopping us from obedience is mistrust. So help us to get over the hang-ups, the hurts, the pains, the strongholds, the bad teachings, the bad experiences that are hindering us and stopping us from trusting you because of bad breaks that we've had from other people. Because you're not like people that you would lie to us. You are a perfect God. You are love, and you love us. So we just ask, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, to remove every obstacle that is preventing us from walking totally in obedience. We come against denial right now in Jesus' name. We come against condemnation. Mm-hmm. We come against people pleasing and being concerned about what people are going to think about us. We come against that right now in Jesus' mighty name. Because we're not going to let anything stop us from obtaining the abundant life that you have already died to provide us with. We want it all, Father God. Help us to obtain it all. Help us to be pleasing in your sight, Father God, pleasing to you. Help us to not just be hearers of the word and just hoarding the word, but to be doers of the word so that we could be living epistles, so that we can be walking wonders of your work and of your hand.
Yes.
To draw people, not to us, but to you, so that we can expand the kingdom for Christ. And Lord, we just love and we honor you, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's start answering some callers here. First caller is 903-918. Who are we speaking to?
Fruit punch.
Could you repeat that?
Ma'am.
I didn't hear what you said. Who are we speaking to? You turn it up some.
No, I can't hear.
Spicy with mashed potatoes and a fruit punch.
Ah, she don't know we're on the phone. She ordering.
Oh.
She ain't talking to us. She come back to her.
Okay, we'll go back. We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
That sounds good, some fruit punch, so I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
All right. Next caller here is 480-637.
Hey, guys. It's Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
We're doing good. Let's pray for you.
Good. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Greg, Father God. We thank you for using him like a holy missile to bring an explosion of truth to people, to an explosion of healing, an explosion of the works of your hand, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that he has a heart for people. And we thank you, Father God, that he's obedient in his walk and the call that he has for people. It's not an easy call because people are like sheep, and we know sheep are not the smartest animals. And sometimes that could be very taxing on us. That could be tiresome, especially when you're dealing with people and you're telling them, you're giving them wisdom, you're giving them love, you're giving them guidance, and they just continue to do the wrong things. And then they come to you, and then you're giving them the same wisdom, guidance, and love, and then they're still doing the wrong thing, and it's just frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank you, Lord, that he is obedient because he's called for people. That's what he's called to do. He's called for people. And how frustrating are we to you, Lord? I know that we've got to be very frustrating. So if we're frustrating to a perfect God, how much more frustrating are people to other imperfect people? But we thank you, Father God, that he sticks in there because he understands the importance of his life and he understands the impact that he has on people, even if it's not seen right away.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember people who impacted my life when I was 5 or 4. And they may have never known it at that time, but they did have an impact. So we just thank you, Lord, that he has the knowledge and the know that he is impacting lives, even if he can't see it
yes.
right away. And we just thank you, Father God, that you bless the things that he puts his hands to, that you bless it, and that he walks with a blind faith like Abraham, how Abraham just followed you. He didn't know where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
He just blindly followed, like, okay, Lord, just follow you. Okay, that's what we're going to do. And the blessings that came about it. So we thank you, Father God, that he is so faith-filled that he blindly follows you, because even though he can't see where he's going, he knows who he's following, and he knows who he serves. And so he knows nothing but good is going to come out of following you and being obedient and just doing the things that you tell him to do, even when at the time it makes no sense. And we just thank you, Lord, that he's a strong leader and that you're going to make him a very strong provider, a very strong provider for those who are under his covering. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's what I'm hearing. Your level of trust is going up. It's not saying that you don't trust God, but you're going to trust God in a deeper level, a deeper way. Because you know you trust God to sit down in a chair. Yeah, you put your faith out there, and we don't even think about that act of faith when we go into a building or visit someone's home and they say, have a seat, and we just sit down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've never seen that particular chair before or seat, but yet we trust what it was made to do. You know, we recognize what it is, and we trust that it's going to do what it was made to do. And so you trust in God. God in turn trusts you,
mm-hmm,
and what he made you to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be like automatic. The more you trust God with your decisions, the more you trust God with the things that you care about, you know, like with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, you know, we love people and we really want to direct people. We want to instruct people, but we really have to trust God that for them, because we can give them all the instructions in the world, and they still don't follow them. You know, it seems like they don't get it. They don't get it. But God is going to teach you how to release that anxiety and that pressure that comes along with really, you know, loving people and wanting to see people win, and truly wanting people to see win, to where you just trust God to deal with them the way God so chooses. That's what I'm getting for you tonight, Greg. Trust and be trusted. Trust and be trusted. In Jesus' name, amen. What's been up, man?
Amen. I just want to say I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Like the two of you. I really like calling in and hearing you guys and getting the word. That's so awesome.
Man, we love you too, brother.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we look forward to it, you know. And it's just how God connects us and how he wants to feed us. He knows what we all need, and he knows who to use to get us fed.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, I've been, you know, around a lot of different, you know, type of ministries throughout my life, but there's never been one like this. And not to discount any other ministries, it's just what God calls you under and calls you to. You know, it's for you. It's a fit for you.
Right.
And when you know you're in that place where God wants you to be, you benefit. And not only do you benefit, those around you benefit, because you're getting exactly what you need. You're getting the right nutrition. You know, people eat food every day, but everybody's not eating the right foods for their body.
That's true.
Some people enjoy something that's making them sick.
Mm-hmm.
Every day enjoying Cokes, but burning up their esophagus and got them having to get dialysis because of the sugar and caffeine overloads. You know, it's good to them, but it's not good for them. And so I look at this as spiritual nutrition. You know, this is the right nutrition. Randy being a spiritual nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and I'm eating the right spiritual food here. And as long as we stay plugged in, our spirit becomes more and more fit to do what's necessary.
And we grow stronger because, like you said, I've been part of lots of ministries too. And
mm-hmm.
my gift didn't even start to develop and grow the way that it has become until I plugged in with TGN. And it's something that I was praying for. You know, I was like, God, use me. But I felt like with some of the other, you know, churches that I was part of and that kind of thing, I was like not growing. They just kept throwing me in children's ministry and just kind of leaving me there. And I didn't really, you know, I was getting some sound teaching, but like you said, I wasn't getting the nutrition, the spiritual nutrition that I needed to grow. And so that's the way I look at PGN too. You're going to get told the truth because we love you. We love God and we love people. And it's like all the people that's connected to it have that same heart. We all love God and we love people. So even when we speak in truth, it might make you feel some sort of way. You might feel convicted, but that's going to bring about change. It's never any condemnation. Everything is always said in truth and said in love for your growth and edification. And so being plugged into a ministry that the heart of the shepherd is that of wanting you to grow in your gift, your talent, and your relationship with Christ. And when you pick that up too, especially because we're all called for people, like especially you, Greg, you're called for people. And so with you getting that kind of nutrition in you spiritually, it's only going to make you better at what God has called you to do. it's only training you how to love people past people, right? To love people past, despite people. And it's going to make you strong in every area of your life. Because when there's just a different calling on men than there are women. I know the world doesn't like to say that. They go, oh, everybody's equal. But there's a different call on men. You know, men are called to be the shepherds of their homes. And so when you learn how to be a good shepherd is a good shepherd, period. So, I mean, it's just an amazing ministry, and we're all very blessed to be a part of it and for, you know, because it affects not just our ministry lives, but it affects our lives in general, makes us better humans, better neighbors, better everything. So I'm just really blessed to be a part of this ministry, and I'm really blessed to be connected to all the people that are part of this ministry too.
Turn us all into a lean, mean fighting machines, right?
Yeah, because I'm telling you, it's some days ahead of us, Greg, that we spiritually got to be ready for. And we have to be ready to prepare others.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and not only the spiritually, there are some practical things we need to be ready for. And so I believe God has given us instructions on practically what to do to help prepare us for the times to come. And because we would never be forsaken or ever have to beg bread when we denounce the ways of the world as right. They're going to present themselves in the near future. And so, being a lean, mean, spiritual fighting machine is absolutely right. Because a lot of people are talking the talk, and then when it comes down to walk the walk, they're gonna bow down, and they're not gonna stand up the way that they should. That's gonna be a sad thing for them, you know. You don't want to say certain things, but it's the truth, you know. And I have to share the truth. You know, everybody is not going to choose to do it the way God wants it done. And these are going to be people that you may have seen, you know, going through the rituals, you know, and everything. Because religion doesn't save us. Jesus does. He is the answer. And so people are truly going to have to realize they're going to have to make their choice, because the water is going to get hot. And we have to recognize when the water is hot. Because you know that the study of when you have some boiling water and you try to throw a frog in, he's going to jump right out. But you put him in cold water, turn the heat on, and he's going to boil to death. Mm-hmm. You know, ain't gonna recognize that, oh, the water's hot now.
Right,
you get
used to it.
Right, you got used to it, you know.
Little bit at a time.
Yeah, little bit at a time, and that's what the world has been doing, really with the church as a whole.
Uh-huh.
And far as from the religious perspective, you know, they just been turning up the heat, you know, pretending that they are with the church, giving, you know, these leaders access to funds and different things. And they have, you know, really started relying on resources outside of God. And God is the source. And God is going to clear all that up. And so we have to be ready. We just have to be ready. And I see you definitely as a front runner,
mm-hmm.
in this movement to basically get people to safety. The storm is coming. The catastrophic event is coming. You could be like in the days of Noah. The rain is coming. Nah, man, get out of here.
Yep.
Man, ain't no Antichrist. Man, get out of here, man. We got different technology. Ain't no chips. What you talking about?
I know a lot of people who just, you know, really don't even want to acknowledge, you know, that the Antichrist is in the earth now.
Right. ain't nobody finna do that. You know what I'm saying? Man, whatever. You know, how? You know? But you have to read the word. And so the challenge is, it's like people really going to have to like read the scriptures, and not only read the scriptures, but believe it. You have a lot of people, we are very privy to knowledge and you have a lot of knowledge, but they just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't stop with what you know, of what you've obtained. It's about what you believe. We have to believe.
Yeah, it's like they still have the scales on their eyes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It is so obvious to me what hour we're living in.
Right, and
man.
I try to tell people, and they just want to change the subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah, they want to say that we're kooky and conspiracy theorists and all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, the word
of
God is prophetic. This is not me making it up. I'm not conjuring something. I'm not trying to piece this together. I'm telling you that what I've read, I am now seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't want to talk about
this
it.
This has been written about thousands of years ago, and
right.
You can't see it for what it is.
And we're still talking about to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very believable. It's like in God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. But some things are definitely going to change, and we just got to be ready.
Yeah.
We got to be ready. And I'm excited for you, brother. I'm excited for you. We're going to be in the trenches, Greg. You hear me? We're going to be in the trenches. It's time to fight, and I love a fight. I'm a fire.
Yeah, you know, one of the verses that always stood out to me from the Old Testament, and I forget which prophet it was, but God said to one of the prophets he was raising up, maybe it was Jeremiah, but he said, if you can't handle the foot soldiers, how then will you contend with the horsemen?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you think it's bad now, hang
right.
on, because it's going to get worse.
Yep,
absolutely. Because those horsemen are very skilled. You can handle it because you're dealing with two weapons.
Right.
You got the horse and the soldier too? Oh, come on. You don't know how to, you can't deal with the foot soldier. You sure ain't finna deal with this man that's now 10 feet tall sitting on the,
right.
on the back top of a horse. Yeah. So those
head
chopping right there, they just coming through just, they swinging, they chopping heads off.
David didn't just go face Goliath without some practice. Like,
right.
You know, he came across lions and bears before that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, it's still an exciting time for us. And I look forward to seeing what God is presenting to us.
Well, I hope soon I have a good testimony for the two of you, because I really do appreciate you guys. I can't say that enough.
Man, we appreciate you, man. It's coming in its time. In its time, man. Amen. You got anything that you want us to hook up with you on?
You know what? If you would just pray for my parents,
okay.
You know, it's my dad. You know, he's been losing his memory,
mm-hmm.
and he was, man. You know, in his own way, he did the best he could, but he really put the fear of God in me as a kid, and
mm-hmm.
even though we were Catholic growing up, and then
mm-hmm.
my parents left the Catholic Church, and then I saw it later when I was in college. We left the Catholic Church when I was in about junior high,
mm-hmm.
and later I saw it as the hand of God. He was, and I'm sure it happened in my other siblings, but I just realized that, like, the revelation of God and then the reality of the Holy Spirit in my life. So
mm-hmm.
I know my dad did some things right, even though he didn't do everything right. But
yeah.
I really respect my dad, and it's hard to see him going through what he's going through.
Yeah.
And then it's causing challenges in my mom's life, because, you know, she's like the whole, you know, everything that's going on. It's very
right.
difficult for her.
Right.
So yeah, if
right.
you would pray for them, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Cause, I've been in that position, you know, my dad put the fear of the Lord in me as well. And, He ended up getting sick, diabetic, and ended up having to get a leg amputated, and watching a man, you know, go from being this big strong guy to needing me.
Right.
Was heartbreaking. I mean, even me talking about it right now, I still get a little. You know, my dad meant the world to me, man, and I really understand what you mean by that, because my dad transitioned in 2002, so it's 20 years now,
yeah.
And but it's just like yesterday. But the leading up to that moment, I watched my dad, you know, just kind of fade, and he turned into a different person, and through his transition, that was hurt, but it was also a lot of joy. Because I
right.
knew he knew who God was. You know what I'm saying? I knew he knew
yeah.
the Lord, and I always prayed for healing. And then when I got the revelation, you know, the healing, his healing came through his transition, through death. I'm not saying
okay.
that this is your dad's situation, right? But what I'm saying, that I can relate to how you're feeling, you know. And going through when you see the man that had a hand in who you are today, you know,
right,
begin to fade, it hits differently, and
yeah
it really does. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, again for an opportunity to just come before you, Father God, on the behalf of others. And, Lord, tonight, Lord, we lift up Greg. Dad, what's your dad's name, Greg?
Paul.
We lift up Paul tonight, Father God. We pray your covering, your protection over him, Father God. Touch every area of his life, Father God, that is being plagued with dis-ease right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that he finds rest and finds peace and finds joy and that he can be happy and whole in Jesus' name. Whole. We come against the loss of memory because we know that you are a God of restoration. We know that you can restore things and we know you to be a healer. And so Lord, we speak healing over Paul's body, all his organs, his nerves, blood flow, any area that is hurting, we ask now that you heal it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for the support around Paul, Father God. Condition his support team, Lord, to step up. And deal with the things that are at hand right now and to trust you like never before. Because we understand, Lord, in everything, it's for you to get glory. It's never about us. It's never about us. It's about you getting glory. And so, Lord, we just thank you for his support system. His support system, a strong support system. That helps him through this journey that he's on right now in Jesus' name. And we pray for Greg's mom tonight, Father God, that as a wife, that she sees it the way you see it, God. Give her your view. Condition her heart to feel what your will is for this whole situation and to be at peace and give her the strength to endure in Jesus' name, Lord, because just like with her, you know, she's in a similar position because I watched my mom was still working during the time when my dad got sick, and she just went head on and retired. And they were like, why are you down? She was like, I got to take care of my husband. And right. They never missed a beat. They never missed a beat. God supplied all the needs, supplied all, everything. And I watched a woman serve. I watched a wife love her husband. All the way, you know, to the end of the natural life, and I'm still proud of her, you know, to this day. We just was talking about him last week, this past weekend, when I talked with her, and she brought up my dad again. We never really have a conversation without, you know, talking about him or mentioning him. And it's so much laughter that comes along with it, because during that time, you know, you're going through it and you're hurting, but as time goes on, you can look back and you'd be like, man, that was a rough time, but yet still you see where God was the whole time. when it's like a lot of times when you're in the situation, you kind of miss where God is because you're so focused on what you're in.
Right.
But when it's behind you, you know, God take you through that road of reflection, and you look back and he'll be like, hey, I was there. Because the place that you are past that, you look back and you be like, how did I get through that? Because like right now I couldn't deal with it, you know? And I knew it was nothing but God. And so to God be the glory. You know, and so we just pray that everybody that supports Paul truly understand that it's still about God's will be done and him getting the glory and us being in position, because when we experience things, you're already prepared for it. You know, you're already prepared. You don't have to be prepared to try to get prepared for something that you've been called to. You've been called to do. And through this, there's so much good is going to come out of this that in which I'm seeing that's going to really help some family members, some friends, really, really draw near to God. They're going to draw near.
Amen.
So we just thank God for the benefits that are going to come from a situation that seems unbeneficial. You know, it seems harsh, you know, but God will use
right.
it. God would definitely use it. God would definitely use it. And so we just want Paul to be happy, to be at peace, to be filled with joy. And we want him to laugh. Any chance you get, man, get him to laugh. Wow.
All right.
Yeah, just give him the laugh.
Amen.
Man, laugh. Because laughter is medicine.
Thank you.
It is medicine. Get them to laugh. Yes, have fun.
Thank you, Terrence.
Have fun. Yes. Yes. Man.
Well, I will say that's right on. You know, growing up, my dad was very stern.
Mm-hmm.
And through this whole process, he's actually become very pleasant to be around. Like he does laugh a lot, and he does
wow.
smile a lot.
Wow! Good. That's good, and that's what's needed. Wow! Thank you, Lord. That's exactly what's needed to get him to laugh. Cause I know, man. I know. Wow! That's a blessing, and we feel it in Jesus' name. And it's done. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, thank you, brother. Man, this has been good. This has really been
yeah.
I've gone over tonight. It's just amazing how God does things. We got a few more people in the queue, but we got to clear it out for Randy tonight because we started a little late tonight and had some issues trying to get on. But
okay.
Yeah. And so it happens. It happens. But you know, God, I just let him do what he does, and whatever he sees fit to do, we just flow with it. But pray with me collectively, and we're gonna pray over everybody right quick, and I'm gonna go. Lord, we just thank you tonight for every hand that's raised tonight. And everybody in the queue tonight, hand is raised. Hallelujah. For every hand raised tonight, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you impart in them, Father, a special anointing for this season. A special anointing for this season, a yoke-breaking anointing.
Amen.
A stronghold-breaking anointing. Chain-breaking anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that every hand raised begins to
evaluate themselves and to see themselves the way you see them in Jesus' name, and begin to move and operate and walk in holy boldness with the authority that has been given to us through Jesus. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the authority. We thank you for the blood covering. We thank you that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above only and not beneath, that we are the leaders that you have called to this earth to subdue it. And, Lord, tonight we take charge. We take charge over our call, in the call that you've called us to. We take charge. We take authority over every demonic spirit that's moving around throughout this earth. We take charge in Jesus' name, that people are healed, that people are delivered, that people are set free right now in Jesus' name, that there is no lack in anybody's life in Jesus' name. For every hand raised, we come in agreement. And we say it's so and it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Amen.
It's done. We thank you all for joining tonight. I mean, we love being here as always. And we got to clear it up for Randy. We're going to call back in a few minutes. And so he can get set up. And see you guys next week. We love y'all. Good night. Thank you again.
Bye. Thank you, thank you, Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.